squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Durban, March the 4th, 7:55 a.m. It's a Monday morning. In the city, the parking garages are filling up, and curbside meters are being fed their first meal of the day. Some people dread the arrival of Monday morning. Others have been looking forward to it. Two people have been looking forward to it in particular. They have been awaiting its arrival for some time. They are sitting in a car parked in West Street, from which vantage point they have a clear view of the front entrance of Kirkman's, a small jewelry shop.
They're late, aren't they? I'm sure that nobody's gone into the shop yet.
Of course I'm sure. I've got eyes, haven't I? If anyone had gone in there, I'd have seen them.
Well, perhaps there is a back entrance after all.
What do you mean, after all? Of course there's a back entrance. I didn't say there wasn't. I just said they never use it.
Well, maybe they will this morning, just to be awkward.
Yeah, don't talk nonsense. People don't suddenly change their habits just like that. How many times have I got to tell you? People are creatures of habit. Give them long enough to get themselves in a rut, and sure enough, they don't even try to get out of it. They just carry on in the same old way, making it deeper and deeper.
Well, we haven't gotten a rut. You can't say it's true about everybody.
We haven't had the chance, have we? Well, I don't expect we'd be any different from all those people if we were put in their position.
I'd hate to get like him. I really would.
Yeah, don't talk nonsense. You'd love it. Within 2 months, you'd be... Hey, there they go.
Yeah. Unlocking the front door of the shop. And going inside.
Yes, that's it. And both of them are inside now.
Right then. This is it.
Yes. All right, come on, let's get it over with. And keep that gun in your pocket. If things get difficult, use it.
8:04 a.m. The two men move towards the front door of the jeweler's shop. Both are wearing raincoats and hats. As they reach the door, they quickly wind long scarves around their faces so that only their eyes are visible. They open the door and slip swiftly inside. The taller one closes the door and snaps on the latch.
Right, now pull the blind down as well, quickly.
Okay, give me a chance.
Up to? Why do you pull the blind down?
Just shut up and take it easy.
You think you're talking to
one? Have you no... I said shut up! That's better. Now, get over there with the old boy.
What do you want?
You'll find out soon enough. Just do as you're told for the time being, and... Are you sure you put the latch on properly?
Yeah, I'm sure. No one can get in. What's more, they can't see in either.
Would you mind explaining to me just what it is you want?
Oh, I should have thought that was pretty obvious. This is a jeweler shop, isn't it? We've come for some jewels, and you're going to give them to us.
I'm not, you know. You can take anything you can see, and even then I doubt you'll get very far. You may not know it, but this is one of the busiest streets in Durban.
We do know that, and we also know that the really good stuff is locked away in that safe, which you are going to open for us.
I see. You've got it all planned, have you? How long have you been watching us? Weeks? Months? How long?
Shut up, you talk too much. Just stand still until I tell you what to do.
I don't feel very well. May I sit down?
No, stay where you are. And don't try nothing.
I'm not trying anything. I really don't feel...
Can't you see he's being serious? Look how pale he is.
I said to stand still. Growing faint, are you? There. Well, perhaps that'll help you to wake up. And let me know if you grow faint again. Because I've got plenty more where that came from.
Shh.
One word from either of you and you're dead. Show him your gun, Bob. There, do you see? I don't make jokes.
Shh. Be quiet. It's okay. They've gone away.
All right. Now, where are the keys to the safe, mister?
I haven't got them. They're at the bank.
Oh, you expect us to believe that, do you? Suppose you have a customer for a valuable stone before the bank's open. You tell him to come back later on? Do me a favor.
That's quite correct. That's the way we do it here.
It's the first time I've heard of it. Now, you're the manager, and therefore you've got the keys. Give them to me.
I tell you I have...
Come on, give. We haven't got all day.
I can't.
Oh, yes, you can. Perhaps this will make you change your mind.
Stop! Please! Leave him alone! Yes, please!
You keep your mouth shut or you'll get the same as well. Come here, make it snappy.
Someone coming? What do you want?
You get behind the hero here and hold him tight.
All right.
Just keep still, mister. No, please, my arm!
Just a moment. What have we got here? This doesn't look like a bunch of car keys to me. Hold him there. I'll try these in the safe.
Okay, but hurry it up, eh?
Keep an eye on the old boy as well. Yeah, that's it. Grab an eyeful of this lot.
That's quite a sight. Very pretty indeed.
I've got records of everything that's in that safe. Nothing you take will be of any use to you at all. You'll never be able to get rid of it.
Oh, and what makes you think that, Mr. Manager? We don't work through the same channels as you do. We've got our own contacts. And they're as safe as ours is.
They're not, you know. Sooner or later, those rings and stones are going to come back into circulation. And that's when you'll have to watch out. They'll be traced all the way back to you. Yes, and you'll end up with a lengthy term in prison.
Don't listen to him. He's playing for time, hoping that someone will come along. Just scoop the stuff into the bag and then we can get out of here.
There must be quite a few thousand rands worth of gems in here. Well, we'll find out what it's worth later on. The safest thing is to take the old lot, and then we'll be sure not to miss anything valuable.
It'll all be valuable if it's in the safe in any case.
There we are. Yes, that's the lot. Very nice, thank you very much. Right, I'll watch him now. You put the cuffs on Methuselah.
Right. Sit down on the floor, Dad. Just over there.
What are you going to do?
Just sit down. You won't be hurt. That's right. Now, one pair for your wrists. And another pair for your ankles, like so. Oh, very neat indeed. Even though I say it myself.
Are you finished? We don't want to be much longer.
Yeah. They'll give us long enough to get away safely. After that, he can do what the devil he likes. It won't affect us at all.
Good. Well, that just leaves our hero friend here to take care of. I think I'll have these glasses for a start.
Oh, no, please, don't take those. I can't see very well. I won't... You didn't have to do that.
No. Well, maybe I just wanted to, because I felt like it. Turn around. All right, matey. This is your department.
Just as you say, it'll be a pleasure.
They catch you and put you away for life.
Catch us? That'll be the day. We've got it all worked out. Now, come on, mate. Time we were on our way.
Help! Help!
Shut the door quickly before he's heard. Should have gagged him, you idiot. Come on, move.
Hey, you two, what have you been up to?
Blithering fool. Run, run!
Although the revolver shot rings out loud and clear in West Street, it is partially muffled by the roar of the early morning traffic and sounds to many people merely like another car backfiring. Even so, some turn their heads to watch the two men who race along the pavement, but nobody tries to stop them, and they run into an arcade and disappear from view. At the jeweler's shop, Mr. Sutton stops shouting and manages to get to his feet. He dials the police, and his emergency call moves swiftly through the normal channels and goes out to car 36. Police constables Gibbons and Ullifield arrive at the shop, assess the situation, and Gibbons goes out to the car to report back to radio headquarters.
Car 36 to control. Car 36 to control. Come in, control. Over.
Control to 36. Receive you, 36. Over.
We're investigating a report on robbery from Kirkman's jewelry shop on West Street. The thieves appear to have got clean away, shooting a man down in the street in the process. Over.
We've already had several calls from members of the public confirming the street shooting. An ambulance is on its way. Over.
I think Watkins, the manager of Kirkman's, ought to be picked up as well. Over.
What's his condition? Over.
He was slugged over the head with a gun, according to the shop assistant. And he's still unconscious. The assistant was... just a moment. The ambulance has just arrived now. The old assistant was handcuffed by the wrists and ankles, but he seems all right. Over.
Was very much stolen? Over.
Yes, I think so. The entire contents of the safe, although he doesn't know what the value is. The manager's still unconscious, so he can't tell us yet either. Over.
All right. You'd better go to the ambulance and get them to take the shop manager.
Yeah, I will do. Do you want us to remain here? Over.
Yes, we'll be sending someone from the CID down straight away. Wait there till they arrive. See that nothing's disturbed, fingerprints and so on. That's all, 36. Over and out.
8:40 a.m. Lieutenant Derek Palmer and Detective Sergeant Arthur Hobbs of the Murder and Robbery Squad arrive at Kirkman's, the jeweler's, and start their investigations. The manager, Mr. Watkins, is already in the ambulance on his way to hospital. Also on the road, although heading in an entirely different direction towards Umbilo, are the two criminals.
Oh, I've never met such an irresponsible idiot.
What the devil did you have to shoot him for?
I don't know what came over me.
We could have shot him a clean pair of heels without any bother whatsoever. What are you doing it for?
Kill you, I don't know. It was an accident.
Yes, some accident.
It was, I tell you. I was holding the gun with my finger on the trigger inside my coat pocket, just in case you ran into any trouble.
Yeah. Well, that part of it was sensible enough. But why did you pull the trigger?
I got nervous when he shouted at us. My finger tightened on the trigger a bit and the gun went off.
Just like that, eh? You make me sick.
Look, it was bad luck that a bullet hit him. I couldn't do it again if I tried it.
I won't believe that.
Oh, well, it's no use crying over spilt milk. It's going to make the best of it. And it's going to make this gear much harder to get rid of. The police hunt like hounds when there's shooting involved. Contacts will be scared to handle the stuff now.
I know someone who'll still handle it. I'm sure he will.
Oh, yeah, I can find someone who'll handle it, all right. And at what price, that's the question. The hotter the goods are, the harder it'll be to get a decent price for them.
Well, perhaps we'd better leave it for a bit. Now, hang on to them. Give things a chance to cool off.
No, that's just what we mustn't do. That'll give them a chance to get properly organized. And then we'll have more trouble than ever. Now, matey, our best bet is to get rid of this little lot before they catch up with us. And make no mistake, before this little job is over, you may well have a chance to use that gun again.
At the jeweler's shop, Lieutenant Palmer and Sergeant Hobbs are continuing their investigations in the manager's office.
Were they wearing gloves, Mr. Sutton?
The one that took the stones from the safe was, but the other one wasn't. I know that because he was the one who put the handcuffs on me.
Oh, what were they wearing? Can you describe their general appearance for us?
Yes, they both wore trilby hats and long raincoats. Mm-hmm.
Raincoats? In this weather?
Yes, that was the first thing that struck me, and they also had scarves wound round the lower part of their faces when they first came in. But these were only loose, and they let them slip down once they were inside.
So you could see their faces fairly clearly?
Yes, although I'm not very good at describing people, and I couldn't see their hair, of course.
What did they look like? Well, just give us a general impression, if you can't be specific.
Well, they both looked pretty rough and tough characters, which they were, and one of them had a badly scarred eyebrow, with hardly any hair there at all, just old, rather dead-looking scar tissue.
Well, that might be useful. Please continue, Mr. Sutton. What happened after they'd come in?
Well, they just made us stand still. It was obvious what they intended to do.
And what happened next?
Well, I started to feel faint at one stage, and the taller of the two hit me across the face. Mm-hmm. Just after that, he attacked Mr. Watkins and took his keys. Then he opened the safe and slid all the contents into a little bag which he had in his pocket. All this time, the other one was holding Mr. Watkins' arm behind his back. When they'd finished, they put the handcuffs on my ankles and my hands.
Are these the ones?
Yes, that's right. Then they made Mr. Watkins turn round, and the one without the gloves hit him on the back of the head with a gun.
Now, was that the first time you'd seen the gun?
No, I forgot. He pointed it at us when he first came into the shop. I think that was what originally made me feel rather ill.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised. This isn't the sort of thing that happens to you every day, thank goodness. And after that, they just ran out of the shop.
That's right. As soon as they opened the door, I started to shout, and then I managed to wriggle over to the telephone and get through to the police. And a police car pulled up outside the shop about 2 minutes after that, maybe less.
Oh, good. All right, Mr. Sutton, I think you've given us the gist of what happened. We'd like to have another look around in the shop now. If one of them wasn't wearing gloves, the fingerprint department may well get something.
Well, there's bound to be some prints in those handcuffs, sir.
Yes, Sergeant, I had thought of that.
Sorry, sir.
Now, after we've done that, we'd like to go over the whole story with you once again in greater detail this time. We may turn up something you missed the first time.
Oh, yes, of course. And if I can help in any other way, please let me know, Lieutenant.
I'd better answer this. There could be a number of people phoning here for me in the next couple of hours. Excuse me. Hello, Kirkman's the Jewelers. Lieutenant Palmer speaking. Oh, yes? I see. No, of course not. All right. I'll see to that immediately. How's the shop manager, Watkins? Is he... I see. Well, let me know, won't you? Thanks. Goodbye. And that was the hospital. I'm afraid Mr. Watkins is still unconscious. They're going to let me know when he comes around.
Oh, what a terrible experience.
I'm afraid that's not all. They shot a man in the street just down the road when they were making their escape. He was taken to hospital in the same ambulance as Mr. Watkins.
I heard a shot, of course, but I didn't know anyone had been hit. Is he going to be all right?
No, sir. He's dead.
The two policemen continue to work at the jeweler shop. Members of the fingerprint department take samples from the door, the safe handle, and the glass-topped counters, as well as the handcuffs that were used to secure Mr. Sutton. This done, they check against those in the records department.
Any news from fingerprints, sir?
No. It's beginning to look as though we haven't got any prints on either of these two, which can mean several things, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. They could be new in town, or it could just be that they've never done time before.
That's right. And if they haven't done time, it's either because they're too clever for us or because they're relative newcomers to the crime game.
I should think that that's the most likely explanation, sir. This morning's job wasn't exactly the neatest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then shooting at a fellow on the way out was almost the same as putting their heads in a noose. No really experienced jewel thief takes those sort of risks. It just isn't worth it.
You're quite right, Sergeant. It isn't. Did you get that inventory of the stolen goods from Mr. Sutton?
Yes, sir, I've got it here. I haven't added up the total value, but it must be around 40,000 rand.
No, don't bother. It isn't very important at the moment. We're after murderers, Sergeant. That's the main issue. If the jewels help us to catch them, all well and good. All right, have copies of those descriptions run off and circulated to all jewelers and diamond dealers in the Republic. I also want copies sent to every police station, to all points of departure from the country as well. You can send details of the robbery, too, and also that information about the one man's eyebrow. That may come in useful.
Right, sir. I'll get on with that right now.
Be as quick as you can. Come to my office. If Watkins has recovered consciousness, we may as well go and have a word with him. You may have noticed something that escaped Mr. Sutton. It's worth a visit.
Lieutenant Palmer telephones the hospital. He learns that Mr. Watkins has recovered consciousness, and as soon as Sergeant Hobbs returns, the two men make their way to his bedside. They're warned by the nurse on duty that they may only see him for a few minutes, and are determined to make the most of their time.
You say that one of the men was definitely a very rough-looking type.
Yes. Well, they both were, but one was even more so.
I see.
It looked as though he'd been in quite a few fights. And I don't mean in the boxing ring either.
Yes. Would you be able to recognize either of them again if you saw them?
No. Oh, yes, definitely. I'd be able to recognize both of them. There's no doubt about that.
Was there any more in the safe than you usually keep in there at any one time?
No, I don't think so. Same as usual.
I see.
Do you think you'll be able to catch these men?
Don't you worry about that, sir. You just get well. Leave them to us. We're used to dealing with this sort.
Lieutenant Palmer returns to police headquarters and talks over the case with his superior officer. On the strength of his advice, he decides to go and see Mr. Kent, who is well known to both police and criminals alike.
Good morning. Is Mr. Kent in his office?
Good morning, sir. I'll get the girl to ring through and find out. Who shall I say is here?
Don't bother. I didn't ask to be announced. I just asked you if he was in. Through this way, isn't it?
Hey, you can't just walk in here. Hey, where do you think you're going?
Go and do your paperwork, sonny.
I thought I told you to... Well, Lieutenant Palmer, so nice to see you.
Oh, I couldn't help it, sir. He just walked past me.
It's all right. That'll be all. Please close the door.
Yes, sir.
Take a seat, Lieutenant. Make yourself at home.
Thank you. How are you, Nubby? I haven't seen you for some time now.
Oh, I've been away on business.
There was a jewel robbery this morning from Kirkman's in West Street. Do you know anything about it?
Oh, come on now, Lieutenant. That isn't my line of business at all. You know that. I keep my nose immaculate these days. I've done for a long time now. Strictly legit, that's me.
Maybe. The same can't be said for all your friends. We keep tabs on quite a few of them.
Well, that's nothing to do with me, you know. How they choose to operate is their own affair. Well, what's this all about, Lieutenant? What do you want from me?
I want to know who these men are. I'm not saying that you had anything to do with it, but I am saying that you have more contacts in the underworld of this town than the rest of us put together. Diamonds come into this, and you've been known to do a deal or two when they're concerned.
Possibly, but I don't see...
A man was shot dead this morning. It's more than just a robbery. It's murder.
I see. Very well, Lieutenant. If I hear anything at all, I'll let you know. Is that good enough for you?
Make it your business to hear something, Nobby. It could be very important to us and to you. If those diamonds don't happen to come your way, go looking for them. I'll see that you don't get done for fencing. But I want those stones. And I want those men.
Lieutenant Palmer visits several other contacts and then returns to his office. In the course of the next few days, he and Sergeant Hobbs also visit all the main diamond houses in the Durban area. Although they have all received the police circulars already, Palmer knows that this is no substitute for a personal visit, and he is prepared to spare neither himself nor his men if he thinks the routine work may pay dividends and lead to the eventual arrest of the killers. It is not until the following Wednesday, some 10 days after the robbery, that he receives a telephone call.
Lieutenant Palmer?
Morning, Lieutenant. Nobby Kent here. I've got some news for you.
About time. Let's have it. Have you been approached?
That's very naughty of you, Lieutenant. Never mind how I know. Let's just say some friends of mine were approached and I was able to bring pressure to bear.
All right. What have you heard?
Well, first of all, you will keep your side of the bargain, won't you? No one must know where you got this info or who you got it from. And I can give you no evidence either. It's up to you. All I can do is give you two names and an address. It's your baby, then.
You've got my word.
Right, the names are Ernest Johnson and Robert Brown. And here's an address.
Lieutenant Palmer writes down the information received, and they drive in car 12 with Detective Sergeant Hobbs and Constables Falune and Marrere to the Umbilo address. They park around the corner from the block of flats and make their way quietly upstairs.
What are you going to do if there's no one here, sir?
I'll go inside and wait for them to.
Yes, can I help you?
We're looking for a Mr. Johnson and a Mr. Brown.
What do you want them for?
We're police officers, and we have reason to believe that they may be able to help us with some inquiries we're making.
Really? Well, I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. My name's Saul, Frank Saul.
Do you have any means of identification?
Oh, was that Ernie?
Right, grab him, Sergeant. What? You two, go in and get the other one, quickly.
The two men are taken into custody, protesting their innocence the whole time. At 3 p.m. that afternoon, Lieutenant Palmer arranges an identification parade, and the two men are allowed to pick their positions in the line of men. Mr. Sutton and Mr. Watkins, who was discharged from hospital some 4 days previously, walk up and down the line in turn.
Well, sir, are they there?
Yes, Lieutenant. Numbers 3 and 5.
I thought, sir. And Mr. Sutton picked them out as well.
Fingerprint report is through, sir. Results are positive.
Good. We'll worry about finding the diamonds a bit later. This is good enough for me.
Both men confessed and disclosed the whereabouts of the stolen gemstones. At their subsequent trial for armed robbery and murder, both Johnson and Brown were sentenced to death.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of... Squad Cars.
Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Gooden.